Welcome to the Geekcentric Podcast, and welcome to our spoiler-free review for the Prime Video original series, Invincible, Season 2, Part 2. We go around saving lives while ruining them at the same time. Hello, I'm J-Law, but you can call me Justin, and if you're joining us for the first time, well, we are Geekcentric, a podcast celebrating the world of movies, TV shows, toys, collectibles, gaming, and all things Geekcentric. Joining me today for this special spoiler-free review is my superhero co-host, Mr. Nate Shelton. How are you, my friend?
Justin, you know, when I watch this show, you know, I watch it and sometimes I just feel...
invincible.
Right, and that's what I mean. You're gonna splash, do the split. It doesn't work for audio, I guess, as much. But you put the logo up. I'm doing good, man. I'm so stoked that we got to watch this second half a little bit earlier and got to enjoy it. I'm just like, okay, now get me to season two. Let's go, or season three, rather.
Yes, get me to season three, because there's definitely. some good buildup in these last four episodes of part two. As I mentioned, yes, this is part two of season two. Part one came out just before the end of the year last year. In our discussion in the sort of synopsis that I've written, there are some spoilers for season two, part one. So if you haven't finished it, if you haven't even watched it yet and you've somehow landed on this, please go watch Invincible season two, part one. Before you listen to the rest of this podcast, because we're going to get into it and I'm just going to throw us into it because we got some stuff to talk about. A huge thanks to Discussing Film, who created a really nice synopsis summarizing the events of part one, picking up into part two. So Invincible season two, part two picks up with Mark Grayson pummeled into a paste from his proper fight with the Viltrumites, the de facto villains of the franchise, with his father, Nolan Grayson, aka Omni-Man, now captured by the Viltrumites, and the threat of invasion on the horizon. Mark is left with no choice but to take time to recover from his injuries. Time passes on Earth, leaving the planet vulnerable while Invincible is away, who then returns 2 months later to pick up the pieces of his relationship with his friends, his family, and maybe some other people along the way. That is my season two, part one synopsis. If you don't know the cast, let me remind you who we got. We got Steven Yeun, Sandra Oh, Zazie Beetz, Gray DeLeese, Chris Diamantopoulos, Walton Goggins, Jillian Jacobs, Jason Manzoukas, Ross Marquand, Kerry Payton, Zachary Quinto, Andrew Rannells, Kevin Michael Richardson, Seth Rogen, and J.K. Simmons. Invincible Season 2 Part 2 will be available exclusively on Prime Video as of March 14th and will run weekly episodes for 4 weeks because it's a four-episode season or chapter, if you will. And a very warm thank you to our friends at Prime Video Canada who were kind enough to share these four episodes with us for review so we can discuss it ahead of the show's release. Last time we talked a lot about the sort of look and feel of the show and continuing the animation aesthetic. But I thought we could just get into our initial thoughts first, talk about performances, and then we'll wrap up because I think a lot of it is going to be very continuation from our last episode if you've listened to it. So initial thoughts for myself, I'm just going to kick things off here with this is a fantastic close to season two. These four episodes, you know, I think it might bother some that there was a bit of a gap between part one and part two, but it wasn't that long. And it really was worth it.
Well, and I love that the gap itself is in the storyline as well.
Exactly.
Like it feels like these characters have had just as much time away as we have. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciated that from a writing standpoint. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. And I think it was about 2.5 years after season one that we got season two. So here, obviously, it's not as long of a wait. We had about 3 or 4 months in between part one and part two. But to your point, exactly, it kind of allowed us to sit with that first part, you know, very much like how Mark is in this, you know, it's kind of think, contemplate, sort of recuperate from the intensity that was part one. And then we get into part two, which doesn't miss the mark. It continues the intensity. It actually drives it up to a 10 far more. Yeah. This last half is filled with action, blood, and
no one is safe. Yeah.
And the performances, when we will get there, but the performances across the board are fantastic. The show just continues to surprise me as being so incredibly impactful with how it creates very character-centric storylines that have me as an audience caring about these characters. Like, it's going almost as far reaching as live action. Not to say that there's anything about animation that creates a sense of barrier for us to actually connect, but it's just as riveting. It's just as invested as, you know, watching any of these live action superhero shows.
And I think that really does come down to, you know, the aspects of the writing, the dialogue feeling so a little more realistic. I think that Invincible is kind of this really nice balance. It's not as harsh as something like The Boys, but it's also not as campy as the 90s cartoons that we might have grown up with. It sort of fits kind of nicely in the middle while still taking on a really serious subject matter. And, you know, I think the back half of these episodes, and really this entire season too, just helps to emphasize the scope of stories that are developing throughout. And, you know, I think last season was really about Mark getting his powers, his relationship with Amber and Eve, and of course his mom.
And his father.
And of course, with his father, Nolan. Yeah. But I think this season breaks open so many different storylines, which I think out of all of them, only one is really seen through to somewhat completion. And normally in a lot of shows, I think that would be a negative. But here, for some reason, the way that they've paced it out, it just gets me so excited for what's ahead and knowing that there's more stories coming. And I think this season and these back four episodes, it manages to do a lot of setup while still not feeling too overstuffed and still feeling character focused on characters that, honestly, I would have never imagined that we would get a character focus on, which is really cool.
Yeah, it gives us a fully immersive experience by telling the stories of all the characters. I think that's what I appreciate, is that it's not necessarily so narrow in its focus. It's actually very broad, and it's all encompassing about talking about this world and all of the characters that make up this world of Invincible, if you will. I think the other thing I'll just point out, as I was mentioning before, the action is really dialed up. If part one was more of a sort of mood setter, because definitely the last episode, there's a lot of action in part one, you know, that fourth episode. But leading into that, it was a little more story building elements, if you will. And I think these last four episodes in part two definitely drive the action up. I think there's intense amount of stakes that are to be considered in these final four episodes. And like you said, there's so much that's laid as a foundation for us to explore in future seasons. You know, again, like you said at the top, after this, I'm ready for season three. I want to see more stories, because they very much have intention with what they're laying down. And I imagine there's hopes to do multiple seasons, but it's so clear in the way that they've sort of seed planted new elements, resolved certain things. And the season wasn't meant to resolve everything. It was really meant to be sort of another stepping stone to more stories that we'll get.
It does kind of feel like, again, like a bit of a bridge of a season between one and eventually three. But I do think that because this show manages to really just give us so much character growth, even within, you know, small portions of even half an episode at times, that to me is what really works so well. Mm-hmm. And if you are a fan of animation, and you're a fan of the inner workings of animation, there is a really wonderful meta conversation that just had me laughing so hard in these, I think probably my favorite episode, which is episode 7, that I look forward to people talking about. But yeah, no, I think you're right. Like, it's, there's going to be so much coming, and I'm so stoked for it. But that's not to say that we don't get some, again, excellent growth moments from these characters. In particular, you know, if we can jump in, like, I want to shout out Donald, because I was not expecting this show to take a character like Donald. Christian Mantopoulos, I think, gives such an excellent performance, and what would normally be just like a blank slate assistant character in pretty much every other animated show that you've watched, he's got given so much more depth, and I love the direction that they're taking him in this season.
Yeah, I really enjoyed his side story that we see sort of unfolded. You know, it was planted obviously in part one, and we see the other half of that here. And yeah, and understanding a little more about his history and where he comes from. With that, you know, Walter Goggins does not disappoint as Cecil.
Yeah.
You know, very cold, very calculated. He always has his hands in things. It's incredible how much he knows and how much people don't think he knows, but you know, some people are aware that he knows everything. And it's very clear. He really does cement himself in this season as sort of being a know-it-all, if you will, or sure. Sort of insight of having what's going to happen, and being prepared for those things, as you'll see with specific elements. I want to shout out someone that I didn't even actually mention in the cast list. The cast list that I mentioned are the series regulars. I want to talk about Sterling K. Brown. His character of Angstrom Levy was introduced to us in a explosive first episode, which really established his character. Now, a lot of people may find that he was not necessarily as important as we get into the first part of part two, but when he shows up, the intensity and the veracity, the sort of manicness of his character really does unfold in the most interesting way. Him being this villain, it really highlights for Mark what's important to him, and that's family. And I love that's sort of the conduit of what his character was meant to sort of bring to light for Mark, is what he values and what he wants to protect. He is outstanding. He's so well done. He does such a good job as this villain. And yeah, it was something I was like, whoa, this guy is, Sterling is really leaning into this. He is going nuts. And I loved it. I loved his performance for it.
Yeah, it's funny. We just talked about American Fiction in our Oscars prediction episode, and Sterling K. Brown came up quite a bit. And yeah, I mean, just as he's a scene stealer in that movie, he's a scene stealer in this show. I think, yeah. You know, he's in the trailer, so it's not a spoiler to talk about his return, but his performance is stepped up even more. Like you said, he's manic. He's a powerhouse. He's giving moments where you just don't know what's coming next. Which is really scary. And you kind of, you know, we only sort of get him for a short period of time, like you said, but he just, it's such a terrifying look at someone plagued by his abilities, which are traveling through the multiverse. Like I love how this show can take the power sets of these characters. And, you know, we also just recently talked about Extraordinary with Extraordinary Season 2. And it's so cool to see how these different shows, The Boys, Extraordinary, Invincible, and of course, everything happening within the MCU. It's cool to see how they approach the use of powers in different ways. And I think this show, you know, gives a really good look at highlighting ways that powers that you wouldn't initially think of as something that could be bad or a negative or used for a villain, like traversing the multiverse, are really brought to light here and really show the impact that it can have on a human being like Angstrom Levy, somebody who, again, when we first meet this character, is just like one of the, he's such a good guy. And so to see him here and the way, like you said, this explosive way that he sort of comes back into the scene is fantastic. It's really, really harrowing. And it's, yeah, he's, I think he is probably the best part of these back four episodes.
For sure. And
yeah,
the idea too, that there's such little screen time for his character, but we've seen him sort of trickle through part one, obviously again with his introduction and seeing his, the sense of humanity and empathy and how much that's changed, you know. Given that he didn't have a lot of doesn't have a lot of time, you still feel for this character. You still understand what he's gone through, and you understand everything about him. I'm going to jump to Steven Yeun as
of course
Mark Grayson. Honestly, I think this goes for most situations, but I think too often, like voice acting, it's not necessarily fully respected in terms of the work that celebrity actors do specifically. Mm-hmm. And as we just talked about with Sterling K and how much he brought to that, I think the same could be said about Yoon in his delivery of making you feel the weight and intensity of what he's feeling. Mm-hmm. Again, I think a lot of this stems from the voice and less from the animation. The highlight of this series, and from an animation standpoint, is its fight sequences. It isn't the sort of interstitial moments that would lead us there. Those are feel very traditional animation, you know, and they're just blocked and simplified in a way so that the animators can focus more on the intensity of other things that are far more important, like those fight sequences. So it really comes down to voice actors and performances giving weight to these characters and making us feel something. And Steven Yoon delivers. He is absolutely fantastic. And obviously he's been getting a lot of love for his portrayal of in Beef. He both Emmy Award winning and Golden Globe winning. So I think, you know, again, it's just, it shows the sense of belief that even Yoon has in his character when he can deliver such an honest performance as Mark.
Yeah, it's cool. Again, like you said, like we're watching these characters, but these animated, you know, superhero characters, but again, because of these voice performances, they're so human. They're so, you're so able to connect with them. And there's some moments in this back half that are just so powerful, whether it's quiet lines of dialogue or him shouting or him feeling kind of, again, the weight of the situation that's happening, like on his chest, on his neck. And you can feel that strain in his voice, and it's just so, so well done. And he's growing so fast, which is so cool to see. And I think you can say that about, again, most of the cast with just some big changes. I think they're, all these characters are, you know, for the most part, they're going through their own problems while all the chaos of some incredibly dark times ahead. It's all shown at the same time, growing quietly in the background. And it's so much fun to sort of get these little seeds planted everywhere, that I'm, again, looking so forward to seeing how it turns out.
Yeah, you talk about improvement, you talk about growth for some of these characters. I think, you know, you mentioned Donald, who definitely gets, we get to see a little bit more growth there and understanding. I think from the Guardians, I want to just shout out Rex Sloan or Rexploid. Rexplode. Yes,
Rexplode.
Voiced by Jason Mantzoukas. He was fantastic. I really love the arc that they give his character in these last four episodes. It seems like it's sort of a bit of a self-realization, a self-improvement, this idea of wanting to be better given the circumstances of the situation and how he needs to sort of adult, if you will, which is great, because his character obviously is seen as a bit of a jokester, as a bit of the comedy sly. But I was, for whatever reason, I felt a lot more care and empathy for Rex in this back half episodes. I think they gave his characters some really great moments to shine and show, you know, him transitioning from, you know, being a self-absorbed dick to kind of having a little more empathy and maybe having a little more understanding. And I think that really does pay off, because you're not going to get that with all the characters, but like you said, the way that they're able to, like, at least pluck a few and say, hey, let's do something with this character and have them have this little arc that you can really kind of connect with. I think that that allows us to connect to this world so much more. This show is not afraid to steer away from its main character and the main story to talk about other things and connect everyone sort of on a more personal human level, which I think this show does really, really well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to being able to, because we're, you know, you can kind of hear it in our voices. We're like, okay, we can't say this, don't say this. We're being very careful, very cautious not to give too much away, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I am really looking forward to, in our Discord, seeing if we can get some good conversations going as these episodes come out week to week. It's going to be really cool.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, I think that's it. I think, as you mentioned, we're excited for our audience to check out Invincible Season 2, Part 2. Before we go, let's give our final thoughts. We're going to give our final score as well for this Season 2, Part 2 out of 1 to 5 sequins.
Oh, okay. Terrifying, scary. Yeah. I don't like talking about those ones, but this part two is it's focused, it's bloody. As we said, nobody is safe. Expect to be shocked, and at the same time, it has some great fun moments. They managed to sneak in some fun. There's some fun stuff involving multiverse. There's some fun animation sort of in jokes in there. There's stressful moments, but at the same time, it's paced in a way that allows you to again, with most of this cast, it allows them to grow significantly in all different directions. And as I said, this entire season two, just again, it helps to emphasize just how big this universe and its collection of characters and stories really is for people like us, like Justin and I, who've never read the source material. I don't think, have you ever read Invincible, Justin?
No, I've been told numerous times that I need to.
I don't want to get ahead of the show, but I don't know. But no, I think there is so much story that maybe even if you do read further into it, it's like the show is going to be adapted differently. And again, I think for a lot of folks that could seem like, you know, in a lot of shows, that's too much. They're doing too much and they're not getting to it fast enough. But I trust Simon Raciopa. And these writers and this team so much that they'll be able to pull it off. I just hope that it doesn't take as long to get to the next season, because as I said at the top, I want season three right now. Easy 5 out of 5 sequins for part two, 5 out of 5 sequins for this entire season two. I think this is just some of the most excellent animated television, especially in this genre, that we've ever gotten.
Yeah, because I think, you know, to that point, the superhero genre in terms of films has been a little shaky. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of people that are questioning fatigue and so on, but you can't say that about what's on TV. Like, you got The Boys, which is incredibly weird. You know, you got even something like, I really enjoyed Peacemaker. It's raunchy yet heartfelt. You know, we both watched My Adventure with Superman, which was incredibly fun and refreshing. And you know, we just, you know, we watched a big MCU show that we loved, which was Loki and What If, and you know, they continue to have, you know, great storytelling elements while also having really great moving moments. And I think what's great about Invincible Season 2 Part 2 is that there's such a balance between humanity and action, and I think that creates a sense of relatability. When you see some of the events that some of these characters are going through, there's such a human aspect to it that we as an audience can relate to, whether it is something as simple as balancing your superhero life with your everyday life. It's just, how do you make life work in a lot of ways? And I really think those human stories help to elevate this series amidst its, you know, superpowered violence. Like, the violence is obviously off the chain, and this season does not disappoint for violence. So get ready. I also really love that this back half of season two, part two, is building more of like an Omni-Man self-redemption sort of thing that's going on. Like, how that is explored is absolutely great, but then you parallel that with Mark's emotional journey and his arc. Again, I just think that it's humanizing superhero storytelling, if that makes sense. It's giving more emotion to these things other than just they have superpowers and they can kick ass. And obviously this, you know, season two part two does hint at some really big stuff that is going to come at the end. But what's great is that it's not it's not overstuffed. You know, the finale itself, it sets up future events or things to come, but it's still incredibly satisfying in a lot of ways. And, you know, despite having a large ensemble cast, I think these batch of episodes don't get too convoluted, and you get to focus on specific characters like we already talked about. And again, it's so much fun. It's really great superhero storytelling that just feels rooted in something that is human. So yeah, I'm with you. 5 out of 5 for season 2, part 2. 5 out of 5 for the whole series. We did give part 1 5 out of 5. So by that math, this whole thing is a 5 out of 5, and rightfully so. I think a lot of people are going to be giving this a solid score, and it'll continue to be one of the freshest things on Rotten Tomato that you can find. So yeah,
very fresh.
Very fresh, right? That's what I'm talking about. Well, that is it for our spoiler-free review for Invincible Season 2, Part 2. Again, a huge thanks to our friends at Prime Video Canada for letting us preview these episodes in advance so we can get you this review nice and early before Season 2, Part 2 premieres on Prime Video March 14th. That was a mouthful. But we hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, feel free to write into the show. You can reach us at wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. That's wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. Or you can hit us up on our socials at GeekcentricYT. That's on the app formerly known as Twitter or X. Or you can hit us up on Instagram at wearegeekcentric. Also, as Nate mentioned before, we will open up a Discord channel. So anyone who would like to geek out with us and talk some spoilers from from part 1 into part 2, we would love to chat with you and hear your thoughts. And maybe we're crazy. Maybe it's not a 5 out of 5. You tell us. But keep in mind, we have a ton of other great episodes from around the Geekiverse, including our spoiler-free reviews for Kung Fu Panda 4, Extraordinary season 2, and Dune. Part 2, which is in theaters right now. We also have our episode, as Nate mentioned, we also have our Oscars preview and prediction show. The Oscars are airing this Sunday, so, you know, we did our thing. The annual geek-centric, breakdown. We don't usually talk about these movies during the regular season, if you will. We always wait to the Oscar season because we know that's when we're going to be able to talk about all these artsy movies and stuff like that. That might be less geek-centric, but we love the Oscars. We love watching it. We love to see that recognition and that reward going to movies and actors and filmmakers that deserve it. So that's a really great episode. It's a bit of a longer one, but hey, we had fun. We broke down. We had a great conversation around all 10 nominated movies. And then we also gave predictions for 13 of the awards. We also have our ongoing watch club for Star Wars The Bad Batch season 3 with episodes 1 to 3 out right now on our podcast feeds. We will be dropping episodes 4 and 7, a nice chunky episode, which will be coming out on March 13th. So you can stay tuned for that. That'll be coming up next week. And also next week, we got some great interviews and we have some great coverage because we're going to be going to Toronto Comic Con. You're going to be able to find all those fantastic interviews, both on podcast feeds and on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/geekcentric until you wait for those great, fantastic interviews. We do have a few there that you can check out right now, like Nate's interview with Paul Sun-Hyung Lee and Daniel Dae Kim from Avatar The Last Airbender. We also have some Star Wars Bad Batch interviews as well. Nate and Meg had the chance to sit down with Michelle Ang, and I had the chance to sit down with Brad Rao, supervising director of the series, as well as Jennifer Corbett, head writer of the series. Go check those out. Those are on our YouTube channel and podcast feeds for you to enjoy. But a lot more to come for the month of March. It's going to be busy, bro. So strap on whatever. Jeez. You need. Get that cape going. Okay. Get the goggles.
That's where you're going with that. Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah,
good.
No, not, what are you? Jeez. Pegging isn't new for me, but it is for you, apparently. So anyways, we can be raunchy. It's Invincible, you know? So sure. But until next time, as we say.
Love ya.
Peace.